Welcome to worship. It is good to be together. In this strange pandemic season, our gatherings are smaller and more intimate. But what I'm finding is the Spirit of God is just the same. As we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And again and again and again, our hearts are filled together in this place. And I'm so glad that you're here to share in this true encounter with the living God together. Folks who are joining us online this morning, it is Communion Sunday. And so make sure that you have something to take communion with at the end of service. We want you to participate in that as well. So we prepare our hearts for worship. Hear these words from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Would you pray with me? Father God, we have joined together to respond to the psalmist's call to make a joyful noise to the Lord, for You are good. Father, You are worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our time. You are more worthy than anything else that could be calling for our affections and attentions this morning. You are worthy because we are Your people. You made us in Your love, and You've called us into Your good work in this world. And so we are here, O God, to remember our story. We are here, O God, to come to Your table and receive Your grace once again. And we are here, O God, to be encouraged in the depths of our weary hearts so we might be sent out to be Your light in this world again. We are here, O God, because there's nowhere else we would rather be than at Your feet with Your people. Lifting high Your name, joining the saints and the angels around Your throne. In these moments, it is as if heaven and earth collide. And what a gift that we get to participate in that. So thank You, God, for this gift of worship. May You be so pleased by what happens in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will turn your Bibles to Psalm 126, we're not going to read it quite yet, but we'll be there in just a moment. Would you pray with me one more time? Father God, now as we turn to Your word, we do so because You've told us that these are the words of life, and we need some life. And so, Father, we pray that the very same Spirit that inspired the writing of these words would inspire our hearing of them today. Would You help us, O God, hear whatever it is You want, need us to hear. And so that You might help us be whoever it is that You want us to be. And so that You might help us do whatever it is You want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How are you doing, my friends? Not just the generic, I'm good, how are you? But how are you really doing? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Travis, good to see you. You dig deep in your heart for just a moment, get a real pulse on it. And how is the heart? How's your heart? I don't know what that was, but I hear it. How's your heart? And I ask this because for me this week, I feel like the tears have been just right beneath the surface. And as I've gotten your messages, your emails, your visits here and there, I get the sense that I'm not the only one. You see, our nation seems to be in this collective state of grief these days. There's just so much loss, so much division and hatred. And it seems that we're all, if we get down to the depths of our hearts, we're all just at least a little bit tired and weary and a little bit sad. And I wonder if there's some of that, even just a little bit of that, in your heart today. We spent the last month looking at different parts of our unique callings as children of God. We're going to keep doing that for like a whole nother month. But already we've remembered some really exciting things about who we are called to be, what we are called to do as God's children. Things like being called to get in the game. And I've heard from so many of you guys this week of how you've gotten in the game with Jesus. And it's been so fun to hear and to celebrate that together. We remembered our call to be people who are on fire for life, for the living God. We are people who are called to get up every morning and speak those dangerous words, Hineni, that here I am, God. Send me, use me however you want. And all of these callings, they're good and they're true. And I would preach all of those sermons again and again. And they're all calls that we actually want to respond to, aren't they? We want to be those people. But how can we when there's so much that's so heavy? And when there's so much that's calling for our attention any given day and so much demanding all the energy we can muster up, how can I even get some passion stirring up in my bones when I am bone tired? How can I even get in the game when I sometimes need permission to just sit out around and maybe just weep a little bit? This morning I say, lift up your hearts, my friends, because your good Father God has a special calling, even for the downcast soul. We are called to sow seeds of life, even as the tears are streaming. And I want to unpack that just a little bit this morning. It's the very first call that humans receive. Genesis 1:28, God speaks to these people that he has just created in his very own image. And he gives them this one command, just one command, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Live as sowers, throwing out seed in every direction, the very first call. And then in Genesis 2:15, this man is placed, of all places, in a garden. It's this place that's exploding with seeds and with fruit that have been put there by the good sower God. And he's told to work this garden with his God. Keep it alive. Keep it budding, Adam. God the sower calls his people from the very beginning to plant his seeds of life with him. Our very first calling, sow seeds of life. That was Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. By Genesis 3:23, it's all kind of fallen apart. Adam and Eve have gone against God, and they're sent out of this life-erupting garden into this harsh, dry world. And as God sends Adam out, he gives him a task to do. He tells him to go and to work the ground in his new home. You see, while everything else changes between Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, this one thing doesn't change, and that is the call. Adam is sent out to keep working the ground. He's called to keep sowing the seed. It seems to be the only way that he'll have any chance at getting back to this garden with his God again. Sow seed. Maybe in so doing, he'll be creating a little bit of Eden, even outside of Eden. And that's what happens as God's people, broken as we may be, keep sowing seeds of life to try to get us back home. So we fast forward to the Gospels. Have you ever noticed that Jesus talks about seed and sowers a lot? The parable of the sower, Mark 4, it's in several Gospels, but Mark 4 is probably the one you've heard the most. And in Mark 4, the sower is God. And he throws out these seeds of life in every place he can imagine. Seeds are thrown on a path and on a rocky ground and in the midst of weeds and even in good soil. It doesn't seem to matter where God hangs out, wherever the sower is. He just lets his seed out, hoping and praying that it might get some chance at bursting up into life. God is a generous sower, throwing out his seeds of hope and healing and salvation wherever he can. And we are still made in his image, placed in that garden. Our first call is still to be sowers as well. John 12, verse 24, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it bears no fruit. But if it dies, he says, it gives life to many. He's talking about himself, of course, and the fact that he's about to lay it all down. He's also talking about us and saying in the laying down of our lives in love and in service, we are as seed in this world, actually giving others a chance to grow up and to live. Even Paul picks up on this metaphor. He loves to talk about sowers and seeds. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, Paul says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. And in Galatians 6, verse 7, he says, whatever one sows, one reaps. All that to say, if you cultivate in this world a life of kindness and joy and peace all around you, then odds are you're going to have a lot of kindness and joy and peace coming right back at you. That's how it works. We are called to sow seeds of life. But what about when we're too sad? What about when we're too weary to get out of bed and do anything about this throwing seeds around stuff? Because that requires getting out of the house. And it requires having one more thing to do in an already jam-packed schedule. What about when we're just too sad to go around throwing seeds? That's where today's scripture finds us. And before we look at it, just want to tell you a word about how it came to me, because I was going to preach a different sermon up until Friday. I had a weepy week, you can call it. I think that something happened in my heart this week where just the many losses that have happened over this COVID season, they finally just caught up to me. People who have passed away and who have moved away over the past few months that I love. And it all just hit me this week. And I realized, you know, the strange thing about this pandemic, amongst a thousand strange things, but the strange thing about this pandemic in the life of a church is that in any given season, any given 8 months of church life, we have a lot of folks in our midst. People move and people that we love pass away, and that's part of life together, and we grieve, and that's part of it. But in a normal 8 month period, you also have new people coming in all the time. And so we grieve and we celebrate, and they're hand in hand. But when you're in a pandemic, it feels like sometimes you're only grieving. I mean, a lot of folks don't come in when you're having church, like on a computer screen, you know. And a lot of folks can't come in when you're sitting in your cars. It's just a different sort of dynamic. And so I realized that I've been feeling the loss of so many loved ones without that joy on the other side of the new ones. And your heart can only take so much, you know. And I realized this week, I was just telling Nick and Elizabeth, I've just been missing my family so much. I mean, I haven't seen them in a year because I couldn't. Usually I fly home a couple times and you know, we can't really fly places. And so I haven't seen them and I just missed them and it's hard. And then Wednesday night, I sat outside right over here. We ended at 7:30 and five youth forgot to tell their parents, which is okay. And so I sat with them until 8. And you know, those five kids that I sat with for those 30 minutes, each one of them told me about their own stories of growing up in a home with parents who are on drugs. Each one of them. And they talked about just their pain of seeing mom or dad struggle so much and choose death over life and over them. And they talked about just how they feel so unseen and so desperate. And I found that I sat at my desk on Thursday morning and I just began to weep. I was pouring out my heart to Danielle about just all the pain, about the loss of this youth center that these kids need, about my family that's far away, about the people who are gone. And I just cried like a baby in my office. And Friday morning, I got up and I went for a run to my favorite sacred place, Green Mountain. And as I'm running, my eyes are still puffy and still burning from the tears from the day before. And when I run, I use it as a time to just talk to my Jesus. Usually like, please don't let there be a bear around the corner. But then after that, okay, and here's what else I want to talk to you about, Jesus. And when I'm running, I read a psalm each day. And a psalm is based on the day of the year. And so it just so happened that on Friday, Psalm 126 was up for the day. And so as I'm running, I pull it up and I pray it, praying not to trip over my own feet. It works somehow. And I pray it while I'm running. These words, Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was shouted joy. And it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. Now these verses, may those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. And as I ran and as I read these words, I could hear the people of Israel together, remembering their good old days when we didn't have to wear masks and could actually have coffee and cookies. The good old days when things were going so well for them and all the nations around them took note, saying to each other, look at what God's doing for them. Their God, oh, he is so good. But by the time we get to Psalm 126, they're just remembering those days. Because the days they're actually living in are hard and even sad. Their hopes aren't coming to fruition. No one's whispering anymore, look what God's doing for them. Their homes and their lives are totally unsettled and broken. And they cry out together, restore us, O God. Restore our lives, O God. Those last two verses are what got me. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Sowing in tears. Picture that. Picture that. Can you see the farmer bawling his eyes out, still throwing the seed out anyway? Picture that. Running that morning, talking with Jesus, I felt like I could see them. These sad, dejected Israelites, their eyes puffy and burning like mine were, tears streaming down their faces, still with their hands full of seeds, throwing it out on this earth wherever it might fall, crying and sowing all at the same time. Just hoping that some Eden, some heaven, might grow up right here in this hard place because they were still sowing. Yes, they're depressed, but they're not retreating to their inner room somewhere to just cry it out all alone. No, in their despair, they're crying. But they're grabbing up handfuls of seed and they're going out to the very world that has hurt them to show up and try to stir up some life once again. Jesus spoke to my heart on that trail so loud and clear, and he said to me, "Jamie, I see your tears. Keep them coming. It's okay. But look in your hands. There's some seed to sow. Throw it out, even as you're weeping. Those tears might even water this seed until it brings up a garden of life right here in this hard place. Keep crying, that's okay, but by gosh, keep sowing too. Because those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. Those who get up and get out of their wailing rooms, who even when they're hurting, try to share some life and some healing in this world, they will find joy. It's a promise. There is dancing on the other side of that seed that is sown through some tears. We are called to be sowers. And not just when we're feeling extra motivated, but whenever we are actually feeling overtaken by the tides of death and despair. We're called to be sowers, even when the tears are still coming. A few stories of what that looks like. I got an email this week from our friend Erin Pierce. I hope she's watching online this morning. She told me I could share it. She said in her email, she said, "You know, it feels good to be in the game. I didn't attend church on Sunday. I've been depressed for the last 3 days. I was lifted out of it when I talked on the phone with a friend who needed to discuss possible solutions to a problem she's facing. Then I slipped back into feeling blue. Today I helped another friend by walking her dog. I also took a sandwich to a friend that wasn't feeling well. Sit around and feel blue, or do things to help others and feel good. With God's help, I'll find other ways to help people." Sowing seeds of life through the tears, one seed at a time. The joy comes back to the sower. Anne Lamott tells a story in one of her books about being a single mom with the flu. And her neighbor is a guy named Rick, and Rick is battling stage 4 lung cancer. And she's just all taken over by her flu symptoms, and Rick drives by her house that morning, and he dares to ask her how she's doing. And she goes on this rant about how terrible she feels. And he says, "Well, can I do anything to help you?" And she's like, "Could you just pick up Sam and take him to school this morning?" He says, "Sure, I'd be glad to." And as he drove away, Anne Lamott said, "You know, I was thinking to myself, I hate being the kind of person who tries to get someone with stage 4 lung cancer to feel sorry for her because she has a headache." She said, "Again and again, I tell God I need help. And God says, 'Well, isn't that fabulous? Because I need help too. So you go and help that old woman over there with some water, and I'll figure out what we're going to do about your stuff." She said, maybe Rick had told God that he needed some energy that morning. And God had said, "Well, great, because Sam Lamott needs a ride to school. So could you do that for me? And I'll be figuring out some strength for you." Sowing seeds of life in the pain through the tears, dishing out the love of God through us, even when we don't feel like it at all. The promise is soon enough. The life that we're sowing will come right back to us, and it will be ours for the keeping. Finally, I had a dream this week. It was actually Wednesday night, go figure. And I don't remember my dreams very often, but this one was vivid, and I woke up and it was right there. Usually those ones I pay attention to. And in this dream, it's me and my dog. You know my dog. I love my dog. And Charlie is in no way a skinny dog. She's kind of, you know, she's big boned. And so Charlie is, in my dream though, she's frail and she's dying. And she's laying next to me and she can't even stand up. She's just skin and bones. And in my heart, I am grieving because my dog is dying. And she hasn't eaten for weeks in this dream. And all the people around me are telling me the same thing. Charlie's dying. Charlie's dying. And I believe it. And I say, she's dying. She's dying. And then in my dream, I have this question. Jamie, is she dying? Have you fed her in the last few weeks? Well, no, because they all say she's dying. Well, maybe she's just hungry. And so I get some food for Charlie and she starts to eat it. And in my dream, I say, she's not dying. She's not dying. She was just hungry. They all were telling me to stop feeding her. She's alive. And I woke up that morning and I'm getting ready and this dream comes back to me like this wave. And God speaks to my heart and says, Jamie, that was me speaking to you. He said, all these things that you say, they're just leaving. They're just dying. They're just moving. The money's just going. He said, it's not dying. It's not dying. He said, the church, your family, your own heart. He said, keep feeding it. Keep feeding it. Keep sowing out those seeds of life. Don't listen to those voices. It's not dying. It is alive. Keep sowing those seeds. And you'll see life, joy comes in the morning. Keep showing up for those kids, even if it's just Wednesday nights. Keep sowing those seeds. Life comes in the morning. You see, there was this real day in history when our Jesus cried his eyes out. And where was he when he did it? But in a garden of all places. Can you see him there? What was ahead for him was just death and pain. And what was in the moment for him was betrayal and rejection and loneliness. And he sat in the garden and he cried his eyes out, Father, if there be any other way. But rather than hide out in that sad, painful place, he got up, his eyes still stinging from the tears, to go and to sow some seeds of life. It would be his own life, of course, laid down so a world of dead souls might actually live. Those tears in that garden place, the water that those seeds would need to grow. And 3 days later, we'd all see that joy, that life was on the other side of the seeds that Jesus sowed through the tears that night. Like our Savior, we are called to sow seeds of life. Not just when we have the extra energy and feel up to it, but those who sow in tears will reap with joy. We are called to sow life, to pour out goodness in this world, even when we're losing it in our own little world. So I ask again, how are your hearts this morning, my friends? No matter what you say, here's what you can do. Just sow some seeds of life anyway, and joy will find you. Father God, thank you that in these strange seasons, where we have tears and hope side by side, that you can hold it all. And thank you that when we're in the eighth month of everything being weird and our bodies, our minds say, just give up, just say that it's all dying, just say that it's all going backwards, that you speak into that lie and you say, oh no, there are seeds to sow. There's life to reap. There is joy in the morning. And so, Father God, would you put some seeds in our hands today? No matter where our hearts find themselves, would you put some seeds in our hands today and help us throw them far and wide, even as the tears come down, trusting that life and dancing and joy is on the other side of those seeds. We're your people, and we get to live into your story, and it's a much better story than what I find on the evening news. And so help us live into it like we actually believe it's true. Because it is. Because you are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.